Hi, this is Carolyn, and I'm here with Aaron, and this is part two of our episode with Julie, who is the executive director of the Raleigh Tennis Association. If you'd like to hear about her incredible background in tennis, including starting a number of programs in Kentucky, please go back and listen to part one, but here is part two. So, Julie, can you tell us how adult recreational players can get involved?
There are so many opportunities for people to get involved in tennis, like you mentioned, besides playing tennis. You know, we're always looking for volunteers, even people who are interested in coaching a little bit. And they can help us with our beginner programs. Mm-hmm. You know, we can help get them trained and ready to work in tri-tennis. But we also do a lot in the community and community outreach and going into after-school programs and bringing tennis to underserved area or under-resourced programs. And that's a big thing that's really important for us to do is give everyone the opportunity to play. So we need people that can help us do that, that are willing to volunteer maybe some time to help us get in all the places we want to get in with tennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a great way for adult recreational players to volunteer a little to help beginners.
It is. I love beginners, though, because they have that they love it. And, you know, the better we get, the more competitive we tend to get. We forget a little bit of that sometimes. But those experiences, though, that a player has, a junior or an adult, those first experiences are what are going to keep them in the sport. Because if it's not a good experience, you know, we're likely going to lose that player. And I know that for true with all the work I've done with juniors over the years, that was what kept them playing. If you gave them a great experience, they had fun, you gave them opportunities to keep playing with their friends, you had that player for the rest of their life, whether they went on to play college tennis, which some of them did, or whether they just, you know, they played it on the weekends with their friends. Or one day they'll play it with their children. I mean, tennis will always be in their life. So that's why it's important for community tennis associations to really expose people to a great experience with tennis.
Yeah. And all different programs, too. I know there's another one, too, for anyone that's listening that's in the younger category, younger than me. I don't know the name of it, but it's like it's like y'all. Is that what it is?
Y'all.
I was going to say beer league, but okay.
young adult local league. So had been a 30 and under, but now we've kind of opened it a little bit more where you could be 35, but it's a young adult local league. It's a social league. So, you know, their scores aren't counted in USTA or ranking any of that, but it's a social opportunity and they have so much fun. And I don't know how many stories I have heard of them meeting who they end up marrying. I mean, the coordinator that we had.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I mean, it's
we need some of those stories.
Yes. I mean, it's the love stories. I know I have had many people say we need a 40 and under, 50 and under, a week like that.
I think what I really like too is, I mean, Carolyn and I play a lot of USTA. Like we do a lot of fun tennis because we get to practice together. And like I said, we just did a tournament together this weekend. But I think the great thing about RTA, Raleigh Tennis Association, and I'm sure a lot of other tennis associations around the country is you're not just focused on there's a lot of us that love to do USTA. We do want competitive matches. Mm-hmm. We like, you know, rankings and scores entered and showing up at to matches and competing as a team. But there are so many people that don't want to do that. And people do need to realize that you don't just have to go out on the court and hit a ball with somebody, but there is a program, whether it's you're under 30 or, you know, you're coming back to tennis or have a child with a disability, or there are so many programs to get involved with. Not just like a competitive league.
Oh, definitely. And the great thing is, you know, we have that, but if you are a competitive player, I mean, you have some great opportunities in this area to compete with USTA leagues. USTA leagues,
yeah,
they run year round, which are wonderful. And they never end. Yeah, and they're, you know, they are.
There's never an end.
Oh, I know. I know. But
they just go from season to season to season.
I know. Yeah. And then once you're kind of addicted, you want to play every season,
right,
too. They may be more of the competitor, the serious player, but they have a great time. I mean, those teams and it's wonderful to see people of all ages having friends that they've made for a lifetime, mm-hmm, through tennis and their tennis teams and be able to compete too. I mean, how many sports can, mm-hmm, you really stay competitive in until you're 80 or 100 even? I've seen that. So it's just a wonderful opportunity that people can continue to be competitive. And the great thing too about USTA leagues is you can start as an adult player, like you were saying you were, and then become the competitive athlete you've always dreamed of being, you know, instead of,
I
played competitively all through my youth, and now I don't have any opportunities to play and maybe a different
sport.
So that's really exciting to see people achieve, you know, their highest potential in competition or, you know, whatever it may be. There's a lot of reasons people play, but I had said a lot about my history, but I've played USTA leagues, not as much currently. Now I've got a little bit more time as an empty nester. So I am working to kind of get back into more of a league play setting, but you know, I've played USTA leagues since I was probably 25, you know, playing in different leagues over the years.
Yeah.
So it's been a wonderful part of my life. And some of the greatest friends I have from this day are people I played with tennis, you know, USTA League, mm-hmm, or maybe they were a parent of one of my junior kids, and they're friends I've made for a lifetime. So anyway, you can tell I'm very passionate about tennis and what it can do, for sure.
Yeah.
Can I ask you another question there? So you have played a ton, what's your most memorable moment on the court?
Oh, wow. Well, I have to say, you know, like I mentioned, I have an identical twin sister. And we love playing doubles because we could... Just for one, we didn't even have to talk. I could just look at her and knew what she was thinking or what our strategy was. So it was always a lot of fun to play with her. And we've had some really great experiences as twins playing tennis on the court. So that's kind of hard to sum that up in one moment. I could probably tell you some real funny twin stories, but that certainly has played a big part in probably why I am so passionate about tennis. It was a wonderful relationship building experience for my sister and I, and we've had so many wonderful experiences playing together, you know, since our mom made us go out in the courts that lazy day.
Do you have similar strokes, and do you fight over who plays out and who plays deuce?
That's a good question.
Because I've seen sisters, not just like the Williams sisters, but I've seen like siblings play, and a lot of times they have like same mannerisms, they kind of have the same strokes, you know. Or even like I've seen adults, like a parent have a similar stroke to a child. So do you guys play a similar style?
Very much so. I mean, very similar style. We never fought on the side. She took the ad, I took the deuce side, and I don't ever remember kind of struggling with why that was. But what I thought was interesting though was my son, who he isn't playing as much now, but he's a junior in college, but he was a very strong junior player. But his strokes, he started with me when he was 10, and of course he's 10 times the player I ever was. But his strokes, I'll be like, wow, I guess I did rub off on him a little bit. He's got a similar stroke style that I do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to kind of see, you know, that influence you have, even though he's had you know, far greater coaches, but, you know, still.
There might be a lot of little kids in Kentucky with a similar stroke with all those programs you started.
Yes, because of you, Julie. That's right, Erin.
Yeah. That is a thought. Gosh, whatever issues they have too might be my influence. Right. Now. If he didn't do something correctly, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Thanks very much to Julie for speaking with us. You can definitely tell she is passionate about tennis. We've included in the show notes a link to the Raleigh Tennis Association in case you live in this area. And if you live outside the area, we hope you'll check out your local community tennis association. If you'd like to see a picture of Julie or listen to any of our past episodes, please go to our website, which is secondservepodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening and hope to see you on the courts soon.